Now, Evangelist Winston Time.
Thank you. I want to speak upon the love of God and will call your attention to the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel and the 16th verse. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." We have, then, presented by this passage, three different causes of salvation: the love of God, the death of Christ, and the agency of man. The first and primary cause of our salvation is the love of God. God's love for all men is the prime or antecedent cause of all that God has done for the redemption of the whole race of men. God loves the world with an infinite love and the benevolent desire of God, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, is one factor in the salvation of man. However, one believing the infinite love of God to be the only factor in the salvation of the soul may embrace universalism and ask the question, why not all be saved? But the salvation of a sinner does not depend wholly upon God. God created man in his own image with the power of choice between good and evil. It is the freedom of choice between good and evil that constitutes him man. Our love for God is eclipsed by his great love for us. John declared, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." 1 John 4:10. The value of the human soul is underscored in this passage. Few things are more characteristic and impressive in the Word of God than the stress that is laid on the love of God. So our belief that God loves the world is based in the certainty and validity of the Word of God. The love of God was and is unselfish. God's love for man was not the result of our love for him. The measure of love determines the greatness of the gift. The Apostle Paul declared, "But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 5:8. Thus we see what God has done and does for man in the matter of salvation. The love of God is the prime cause of our redemption. The death of Christ is another cause of our salvation. Jesus died for sinners, died that sinners might be saved. The human race was under the sentence of death. Paul declared, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 3:23. He then said, "The wages of sin is death." Romans 6:23. The death of Christ was a redeeming sacrifice for sin. Therefore, the death of Christ was for the benefit of man. The writer of the Hebrew letter declared that it was by the grace of God he should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. the Apostle Paul impressed the Christians of the church in Corinth with the affirmation that Christ died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:15. My friend, Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of this present evil world. Galatians 1 and 4. Thus we see, we perceive, that Christ suffered the agony of Gethsemane for the good of man. It is through the sufferings of Christ that our hearts have been inspired with love and gratitude. It cannot be denied with both intelligence and candor that the death of Christ was a redeeming sacrifice. The belief that Jesus rose from the dead is an inseparable part of the gospel. It is impossible to preach the gospel and omit the fact of his resurrection. The phrase, "God who raised Jesus from the dead," appears with such frequency in the New Testament that we are forced to admit that when we preach the gospel, there is proclaimed the facts that Christ died and rose again. To believe that God raised him from the dead is to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. The apostle said, "He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead." Romans 1 and 4. The Thessalonians had turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9. Now we see the relationship between the resurrection and Christ's return. Of critical importance is to remember that the death of Christ was for our redemption. Speaking of Christ, our Savior, Paul declared, "who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works." Titus 2:14. The third cause of our salvation is the agency of man. Notwithstanding the love of God and the death of Christ, there is something for the sinner to do to be saved. Man is so constituted that he cannot be saved without his own consent. The Lord said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Revelation 3:20. The sinner must hear the word and open the door. Acceptance and appropriation are necessary on his part. Salvation is free, but we must hear and obey the gospel of Christ. The air is free, but we must breathe it or die. The Apostle Peter preached Jesus to the people, and he exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." They then that received his word were baptized. Acts 2:41. Baptism is an exercise of faith in Christ. It was so understood by the Apostle Paul, who declared, "For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. He who thinks that salvation is the result of faith only is the victim of the worst sort of confusion. The Apostle Peter declares that human agency is important in the salvation of the soul. He said, "Ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth." 1 Peter 1:22. No one is made pure without personal effort. Yes, I believe that man is saved by God's grace. Were it not for the grace of God, there would be no purification for the soul. But man must appropriate the benefits of God's grace in salvation by obedience to His word. The apostle's argument that we purify our souls in obedience to the truth is the deepest source of encouragement to all who are striving to live by the word of God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How does a child of God have eternal life? The answer is found in 1 John 2:25. John declared, "This is the promise which He promised us, even the life eternal." How does a child of God have eternal life? He has it in promise, has it in prospect. Hence, we live in hope of eternal life, Titus 3:7. Christian hope is unique and indispensable. The Apostle Peter stated it positively and succinctly in Acts 4:12. He said, "And in none other is there salvation, for neither is there any other name under heaven that is given among men wherein we must be saved." Have you obeyed the gospel? In our conquest for peace of mind, we cannot ignore the gospel of Christ. God bless you, my friend.